Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hi, this is Pat Fraley, purveyor of Duck, Doug, and Villain voices. And you're watching Altered Geek.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek Unlimited, episode 48. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and no, I'm not joined by anybody this week. The original plan was I was going to have Mike Powers back on tonight, but he was out of the area, I believe. I could be wrong. I don't know if he'll listen to this or not, but I'm pretty sure he said something about not being around to record. But he will be back next week, so there's that. So things should, for those of you, get back to some semblance of normal. So at least you have that to look forward to. We will be tweaking the show, kind of going back towards what everybody kind of liked, and kind of delving away from all the, and it's no fault of Mike's, because Mike had nothing to do with it, and when I say that, I mean Blanchard. I think that part of the show kind of lost its luster, so to speak. So I'm going to attempt to reclaim the grounds that it was founded on, which is kind of talking, you know, the Batman aspect, or talking, you know, kind of geeky, techie TV and, you know, stuff like that. So, I mean, it's going to go back to the foundation of what made the show great. It's just kind of been my fault throughout the run that things have gone the way they have. So, without further ado, I think we shall get into the news of the night. First up in the night is, well, I figured since I've recently gotten back into this, I was kind of talking about the Battlefield and the fact that, you know, they don't have demos anymore. Well, I was doing some searching around, mostly because I was trying to, suffice it to say, I played the Transformers Online, Transformers Universe, or whatever they're calling it, the beta. I am not thoroughly impressed. I mean, it's, think the DC Universe Online, but with Transformers, except the keys, you cannot change the keys whatsoever, so it bothered me. I didn't want to use those keys, so I plugged in my Xbox controller, the one that I do have that's corded, and I figured, you know, I'll try and do this and see if I can change the keys. Well, lo and behold, that still couldn't happen, and I was getting throttled online, getting my ass handed to me, more or less, and it kind of bothered me, honestly. I wasn't happy with it. And it's not the fact that I had no experience with the game or that I didn't know it. It's the fact that I couldn't change the controls to actually, to things I would recognize. They were all these oddball keys. I mean, granted, the A, W, S, D are pretty standard for the up, down, left, right. But I, when I'm using the keyboard, I prefer to switch it to the original up, down, left, right. As well as kind of moving some of those keys that are sporadic across there towards that area. More so because I play better when my one hand is close to the mouse and the other hand is able to press everything within a close vicinity of that section. It just bothers my arm and my hand. It's something about my hands. I've always had issues with it, so I don't know why it hurts so bad, but it irritates me. So anyways, I got the Xbox controller hooked up, and I tried it. Didn't like how it played. So what I did is I reinstalled, because I've been playing Unreal Tournament 3 on my Xbox for ages. I originally bought it for the PC when I bought it the first time around in 2007, and it was $60 or something. And I've added mods and the Titan upgrade and the patches and all these other mods and the Transformer skins. I play as Megatron. It's G1, unfortunately, but it's still G1 Megatron, and it's cool. Whereas on my Xbox, I don't have any mods or any add-ons, and I can't play with other people on there. So I was curious if the PC version still was online compatible, and lo and behold, it was. And I plugged in the Xbox controller, and it too worked automatically. So, putting the fact that I've been training on the Xbox controller for so long, and people were playing the same maps that I tend to frequent, that I really like, I ended up doing a lot of those. And although I did not get any of the flags myself, I was kicking royal ass, collecting weapons and blowing them away. So, it's one of those things that I thoroughly enjoy for some reason, despite having beat the game like a bazillion times. But the point I'm trying to have here is there's new concept art of Unreal Tournament, and it's going to be done on the new Unreal Engine, and it's going to have a team of veterans of the original Unreal Tournament people from Epic Games and everything else working on it, which I found to be quite nice. And the other bonus for it is, it's not only going to be online and everything else, and they're remodifying the weapons and the game and the graphics, but they're going to make the game free. And I'm thinking, okay, you have me. I loved Unreal Tournament 99. I played Unreal Tournament 2004 and owned that as well, the Collector's Edition. I have Unreal Tournament 3. Twice. So, of course I'm going to jump at the new Unreal Tournament. And it's supposed to be out this year, I gather. Which is awesome. But I'm trying to figure out how they're going to make profit off it, and it seems like they're going to allow people to add in their own upgrades and create like a market store to do mods, patches, and upgrades and all this other kind of stuff. But you'll be able to sell them. And how Epic and Activision and all these people will make their money back is they will take a cut off of what you sell in the store of stuff you've created. So essentially, it'll be nothing more than like how eBay works, in a sense, or that kind of feature. So, I mean, the game's still free, and if you don't care about buying any of that other stuff, then it doesn't really matter. You can still play it for free. So, to me, that's kind of awesome. I can't wait. In other news, I was reading some information about Star Trek 3. I know it's movie-related. I know I just talked video games for like 5 minutes, but movie related, only because it's Star Trek or Batman. Like, those are the only two that I think I'm going to jump over to from the show, not to step on MWire Weekly's toes, but those are just two franchises I feel too passionate about to not talk about. But they're suggesting that it's going to stay closer to the original franchise and actually go into deep space instead of, oh, let's hang around Earth in San Francisco for the entire film and have nothing. I'm not going to bash Into Darkness, but at least on here I won't. But I'm kind of glad if they're actually going to go that direction. I'm not thrilled that Orci is directing, but again, it can't be any worse than anybody else. I mean, J.J. Abrams basically did Star Wars demo reels out of it. Watch the Honest trailers and you'll get what I'm talking about there. But I prefer my Star Trek to be Star Trek and not Star Wars, which is what it's been for the last two films. And they've completely botched any kind of science that would belong in Star Trek. So it kind of irritates me. I guess I'll jump into some TV news. I find it kind of amazing that somehow TV shows that get canceled have gotten to be picked up elsewhere. Point being, and I know this is a little bit old news, but I've never really watched Community. I mean, I've tried watching a little bit of it. It's not too bad. I just, it I think it follows the same formula that a lot of the modern shows kind of do, and I just, it doesn't mesh with me very well. I do love the fact that they have a lot of homages and a lot of actual, like, touching on pop culture and geek nostalgia and everything else, like with G.I. Joe or, you know, Avengers or various other things in there. So I do appreciate what it does, and I probably will go back and watch once, you know, it's completely canceled again. What I'm trying to get around to is Yahoo ordered a sixth season of it, which is kind of odd that Yahoo decided to jump into this game, because I would assume that either, like, Amazon, Netflix, or Hulu, or somebody else to that nature would jump in and say, hey, we're going to save it. But nobody else jumped in, and Yahoo's like, we'll take it. So, I mean, I hope that it's a lucrative business for them. I hope that it helps turn them around. Because, I mean, let's face it, since the age of Google, Yahoo hasn't really done anything of note. I mean, they've just kind of been there. So, I mean, I hope that, you know, they can at least put some of their funds to good use instead of disappearing into the other side of the internet, more or less. And we get to the fun part now. This is Arrow talk. I was quite surprised with the amount of casting news that's popped up over the last week, anyway. I know we kind of vaguely talked about the actress that's going to be playing Katana in Arrow Season 3 last week, which I think it's kind of interesting that, you know, again, they're adding another character to that degree that worked with Batman and's worked with various other DC characters, and I'm kind of interested to see how they go about that, because I have a feeling they're going to use, like, Black Canary and some of the other characters a little less this season. I'm not saying that they won't use them, but I think that they're going to kind of swing in a little bit different direction, especially with their new Count Vertigo showing up, which is also the lead bad guy at the end of The Blacklist, and one of the guys on Prison Break. I can't remember his name right now. But I think it'll be interesting. I'm not too familiar with Count Vertigo or Vertigo or whatever. So I look forward to learning this iteration through Arrow Season 3. Katana, I know. The only thing I know about her is what I've seen on Beware the Batman, which I haven't. I know that that's a completely different rendition. So I'm fine with learning something new. It doesn't bother me. And then, of course, we have Superman coming to play the Atom, which I'm vaguely familiar with the Atom. But again, I don't know enough about him. It's those secondary and tertiary heroes, I don't follow them all that much, so I'm not quite sure what to expect. So it'll be a learning experience, to say the least. It's kind of weird for me to see the actor that played Superman play the Atom, but again, he only did it for one film, so it's not that big of a deal. But who knows? I look forward to learning this character too through the show. So it's nice to see a lot more superpowered and a lot of, like, ninja powered people kind of jump into Arrow now at this point, especially with the fact that Arrow seems to be taking the ball and running with it and doing basically kicking Marvel's ass at superhero television, where Marvel's kicking DC's ass in superhero movies. So Arrow to at this point could do no wrong, especially with the introduction of, like, the Flash and Deathstroke and the Suicide Squad and various other characters like that at this point. And then this little bit is about the Flash, which is somewhat related to Arrow. Stephen Amell, his cousin, Robbie Amell, the one that played Stephen Jameson on The Tomorrow People, funny how this works. When you get canceled from one CW show, you move to another. Just like the guy that played Lucifer on Supernatural moved to NBC for Revolution, and then after that, he's in the Tomorrow People on CW. So all the roads lead back to where you start, or at least where you've had more prominent exposure. But Robbie Amell is playing Firestorm on The Flash. I'm not quite sure, and again, I'll probably have to wait for Mike next week to kind of bring some of these back up, because he's a little bit more familiar with comics than I am on some of these characters. I know a little bit about these characters, but I don't know enough to really make any kind of a statement about them. So it should be interesting, to say the least. I really look forward to seeing how DC is going to handle these CW shows, especially with the fact that Arrow is doing so well, and then you've got Flash that's kind of running piggyback off of it. And then, of course, they're already announcing, you know, like Killer Frost is going to be in it, which they've had that out for a while. And then Detective Pretty Boy Eddie Thawne, which is Reverse Flash. They're going to have him in the show, which I look forward to seeing that dynamic. And then, of course, they've shown like a newspaper clipping saying, "Where's the Flash?" blah, blah, blah. And then they show it's like in the future kind of thing. So, and then it says Wayne Enterprises bought Queen Industries, which is further bringing that gap together, which it would be so awesome if they brought Batman in on CW, but they won't because Fox owns is doing the rights to it at the moment.
Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Jumping into some tech news, we have, well, something a little bit different. I'm going to kind of jump all over the place here, so just be forewarned. There is some kind of PC Windows gaming news as far as the Kinect version 2.0. They're going to release it for the desktop with a $200 price tag. But the interesting part about it is they're going to modify the Kinect more so for non-gaming purposes. More so for people that want to use it for, well, for instance, they want to include it for hobbyist, developer, professional crowd instead of general consumers. So like they on the image they have like developers using the Kinect for like medicine and robotics, which I find kind of interesting how they're doing it. They're saying that it's not going to come with any software, but it's going to be used with the Kinect for Windows SDK 2.0, which they're going to have out there. I find it funny that it's going to be kind of a niche product instead of just mainstream. Because, I mean, think about it. You could probably use it for, like, some kind of virtual reality type thing on the PC. Because, let's face it, essentially the Xbox, the new generation one anyway, is basically a PC. It's not really... I mean, the previous generation was more console than PC, whereas the current is PC pretty much in a little tiny box that's also an entertainment center. But it's pretty much a PC, just without Windows on it. An interesting concept for it, though, would be... Could you imagine people using it for motion capture? Like, I like the Dark Glass project, we were originally going to play around with that to try and more or less get us to act out the characters to make it easier for them to give them animation and make them move, but alas, that kind of proved to be folly at this point, so we kind of went against that. But I mean, it was an idea. I mean you could there's so many practical applications for it, at least for a developer and somebody that's doing it for that purpose, whereas, like, for the gaming, I really don't... I have one that's with my Xbox 360, and I don't use it. I don't care. If I want some kind of an interface like that, I'll play the Wii. But again, that's even few and far between too. Switching gears, Atari is looking to come back from the dead. It seems like, again, it's saying like they're going to reintroduce beloved franchises like Roller Coaster Tycoon and bring it also to mobile, and like Haunted House and Asteroids. So should be interesting to see how they kind of show back up in modern media anyway. I don't see how they're... I mean, a lot of their old games are relevant, but I don't see many people actually, like, branching out to some of that stuff. It's just... I think that the gaming world has kind of changed somewhat. Again, probably a better conversation to be having with Mike, so I guess I'll come back to that too. Getting into some space news. NASA probe, which was retired, is brought back to life after 27 years of drifting in space. I find that interesting that they can just shut it off and then decide that, okay, it's time to bring it back. But it's the other reason it's back, though, because they were going to leave it in a permanent retirement, is because it was crowdfunded at the last minute with $150,000. And they brought it back to life. They just told it, okay, time to wake up, and then they sent it back out. It's just, I find that amazing that at this point in time, people are the ones that are having to bring shit back, and companies are like, I broke. So I saw this on Gizmodo earlier this week, and I thought this was kind of cool. They have these new smart bricks, are like Legos for real buildings. And again, all this is in the show notes. I think that this concept is kind of cool, because I think that it could lead to, I mean, depending on what material it's made out of, I think this could lead to somewhat stronger structures. I don't know how much engineering that's going to take to do this, but I think that it's kind of cool, because, I mean, if you think about it, when you attach Legos to each other and you position them just right, like, if you know exactly how they're supposed to be placed together, any good Lego builder as a kid knew, like, if you stacked up the same piece on top of itself, it's going to topple over, whereas if you kind of interlocked them just right on certain angles or certain edges, it would hold together tight as hell if you dropped it. So it's kind of nice seeing something from our childhood make it this way, but I don't know how functional this is going to be. A company called Kite Bricks, like I said, calls them smart bricks. So they come in a variety of shapes and sizes, rows and knobs along their tops, basically like Legos. And they've got steel bars that can be inserted through channels in the bricks to add strength, which again could work out very well for them. I don't know how well the functionality is going to be. That's the only thing that kind of concerns me about it. But they're saying that it should allow for more standardized windows and doors, basically allowing like people can buy kits of bricks and kind of do this, and allowing a simple house to be constructed while creating virtually no mess or debris. But they're also saying that they have other practical features, like internal voids within them to provide insulation, and easily accessible channels through which plumbing and wiring can run. That sounds like a good concept to me, but again, I'd like to see it actually in some kind of a actual function and see it actually in real-world application. I don't know. It was kind of a cool thing to bring up. Kind of another cool thing to bring up is Dubai is creating the world's first climate-controlled city. That's one thing that I've wondered why it's taken so damn long for them to actually do. Funny that it's Dubai, though. I mean, it's the same city that's going to build that magnificent I think it's the same city that's going to build that magnificent city that we talked about ages ago. But yeah, they're planning to ultimately eliminate the concern altogether of building a, by building a climate controlled city of the weather. This would be kind of awesome, having like a glass domed ceiling that you could essentially still get sunlight and get daytime and kind of walk around and not have to worry about anything. It would be expensive as hell, I have a feeling, but again, it's even from the concept image that they have here, saying that it would be a they want to have it in the called the Mall of the World, the 48 million square foot mini metropolis would be the first city-sized enclosure to allow residents to completely avoid outside conditions for extended periods of time. If they can actually pull this off, this would be actually a great thing for them to build on the moon or on Mars or somehow through that. But I guess the reason they're building it is because of Dubai's extreme summer temperatures, which average 104 degrees. So it would allow them to average at 73 degrees and still have kind of fresh air because they have trees and all kinds of stuff in there. But they're saying that the city would include like 100 hotels and luxury apartments and wellness district and all different kinds of things. It looks magnificent from the kind of teaser images that they show here. It's kind of an amazing thing to watch what they're coming up with nowadays. I think it's a cool concept, honestly. I'd like to actually see it. If it actually happens, I'd like to go there and check it out. Well, I think the last thing I'm going to talk about is going to be the... And I've kind of brought this up on previous... Some of them on previous Alter Geeks, and then some of them on my Star Trek show, Future Imperfect, over on This Week in Geek. It's the 8 Star Trek technologies moving from science fiction to science fact. And the number one is warp drive. So with warp drive on there, I still am not sure if this is actually humanly possible. They think that they figured out the technical aspects of it. But a lot of people are kind of estimating the odds of humanity ever developing the warp drive at much less than 1%. So out of all the Star Trek technologies, I mean, I would say that and kind of transporters would be kind of those things that I don't really see happening ever. But who knows? The second one is the Universal Translator. The Enterprise often used that to communicate with aliens, and in real life, Microsoft recently announced a Skype translator, which allows near real-time audio translation from one language to another, utilizing advances in speech recognition and machine translation technologies. The Microsoft blog noted, "It is early days for this technology, but the Star Trek vision for a universal translator isn't a galaxy away, and its potential is every bit as exciting as those Star Trek examples." I really agree with that. That would actually be cool, because then you could go to another country and you could pull up your Skype translator on your phone and easily communicate with people without having to learn the language. Although that also discourages people from learning something new, so at the same time, it works for some and not for others. I still would think it would be cool, because then I wouldn't have to understand anything. Or I could know if somebody's talking shit about me in another language. The number three is handheld computers, which obviously the pads, the personal access display devices that they had in Star Trek, we basically have with the iPad. It's not any different. That's already come to fruition. They came up with that concept in the 80s, and lo and behold, we got that in the 2000s. The medical tricorder is number four. And they're talking like the version that Dr. McCoy used in the original series. there are several companies trying to come up with a top prize of the Qualcomm Tricorder X Prize competition. There's a lot of guidelines, like it has to continuously monitor 5 vital signs, like blood pressure, current ECG, heart rate, body temperature, respiratory rate, and oxygen saturation, as well as screen for over a dozen different conditions, including whooping cough, hypertension, mononucleosis, shingles, melanoma, HIV, and osteoporosis. That's quite a lot of stuff, but if they can actually come up with that, that would be a revolution in modern medicine that could cut out a lot of excess time for doctors trying to figure out what the hell's wrong with us. That's one I really hope that they come up with. Number 5 is energy weapons. The Star Trek phaser weapon is still purely fictional, but before phasers became standard issue for Starfleet, officers also used laser weapons. The original episode of the original series, the original pilot, The Cage, they did that. In real life, the U.S. military is working on a directed energy weapons, like battlefield lasers and stuff like that. I think it'd be cool. I don't know. they did kind of poke fun at it in the article about no word on whether the weapons will also make the obligatory pew pew sound. That would be just epic if it did. It'd be pure 80s cheese. I would love that to no degree. I just think G.I. Joe when I hear that. Or Transformers. Number 6 is androids. The Next Generation featured Data, android officer. There's a lot of people playing around with this technology, trying to come up with sentient machines or contemporary robots and artificial intelligence. Funny enough, a lot of this is done in Japan. This is also the same region that a lot of goofy things that you wouldn't think. They're famous for porn. and anime and various other things. They have affectionate robots that are quote-unquote affectionate, programmed to read emotions of humans around them and by recognizing expressions and tones, and whether the affectionate robots is actually what that is saying or whether it's that they just can tell your expressions, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised either way. I've seen news reports of both, so again, I don't know. But they're working on robots that will require solving complex problems. And then they're trying to come up with like machine vision, rapid control of arms and legs, coordination between multiple robots, and strategy planning. They're hoping to, funny enough, come up with this, a soccer robot. So that they can have a team of soccer players that are androids and try and have them play. I hope that they follow the 3 laws. Otherwise, we're going to end up with iRobot or we're going to end up with the Terminator, and that won't be good. Number 7. I brought this up earlier. Transporters or teleportation. As much as I want this to come true, I don't think it's humanly possible. They have come up with the ability to quantum teleport of information. But again, you have the internet, so it's, I don't know how well information would do by teleporting it, whereas I'd like to see them actually move an object from one place to another. But yeah, they're another technology they're playing around with that I don't think will happen. So they have another one that says that we have early counterparts to that are from Star Trek. Like MIT announced a programmable needleless medication injector, basically like the hypo spray. But they're trying like real life medical trials of suspended animation to help treat severely injured trauma patients. They use them for like ultrasound scanners that are handheld. They're now regularly used in emergency and military field settings away from the hospital. This is a University of Leicester. Scientists have developed a prototype sickbay bed for emergency patients. 3D printers now also creation of customized replacement body parts. That's something that I could see being actually relevant. Making body parts with 3D printing. Maybe that's something we should bring up in the future. 3D printing. I'm so curious about how that process works, but I have no idea. I am actually kind of interested in that. What would be something that you guys would want to make if you knew how to 3D print or had the stuff to do it? Because I honestly don't know what I would do. So I guess to finish off the news with the last thing that I feel like talking about before I cut this out. Sorry if it's a little boring. I really didn't mean for it to be. I was kind of hoping to be a little bit more entertaining. Hopefully I am. Hopefully I'm not boring you or putting you to sleep or made you turn off the podcast or whatever. But I promise it'll be better next week. I hope this is a little bit more akin to what everybody's used to. I hope so anyway. I got friended by a Twitter account earlier, which usually I get friended by a lot of different accounts, and I either, you know, add them as friends or followers or whatever, or I don't. And usually what I do is I kind of look and see whether, one, they got an image, or two, they, you know, have any pertinent information or anything that I might want to follow. And anyways, this happened to be a Kickstarter. It was called You Kick Ass. Now, to me, I have no idea what the hell that even is supposed to mean. So, of course, I'm going to click on it. And then when I clicked on it, it says You Kick Ass Hero, and then it shows, you know, a bunch of toys. Still doesn't give me any information that I would find on there. So I clicked on their links. And it comes up with Be a Superhero Action Figure. It says they've got like 278 backers and pledged 24,000 out of their $15,000 goal, which actually amazing because it was a lot lower earlier when I checked it. And it's saying it's got 13 days to go anyway at this point. I watched the video. It's actually quite entertaining because they basically have all these preset figures. And it looks pretty much like they're all going to be the same colors, I'm guessing, as what are shown on there. And they've got almost a dozen different style figures, male and female. And honestly, if I could find a way that they could change the color of some of them, I would probably do it, honestly. I'm still damn near tempted. But what they do is they kind of bring it like, they screen print your face onto custom heads. You upload your photo and they make an action figure that looks like you. And then you can choose from like 30 different hairstyles that you can kind of peg to your head. And then, because all they do is screen print your face onto the face of the figure. Which, again, is kind of cool. And then you get to pick your skin color and your hair color and stuff like that. And then they make the heads there. Whereas the bodies are made in China. And the figures are about 6 to 10 inches tall, depending on the age and gender of the hero. And they come on a stand and they come in a box. It has a comic strip on the back that describes the hero's backstory and superpowers. And it says that they come in all different skin tones and... you know, they match the action figure's head, will match your photo color-wise. So, but I'm pretty intrigued by what it's going to look like when it's done. Again, I may still actually do this and try it and see what happens. Yeah, definitely go check that out. It's, on Twitter, it's at YouKickAssHero. Or on Facebook.com/YouKickAss You Kick Ass LLC. Sorry, I was having a hard time reading that. They've been featured on like Nerdist or various other places, Nerd Approved. It's kind of interesting to see. On July 3rd, they only had $15,000 out of their goal, and now they're at $24,000, and it's only 7 days later. That's amazing. I may actually do this. This looks kind of cool, because I wouldn't mind, as self-indulgent as it is, I wouldn't mind having an action figure superhero of myself. But, yeah, so I hope that this week's episode wasn't too boring. I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope that some of the information that I kind of brought up is relevant. I also want to bring up a couple other little tidbits that are not related to news. We mailed out, or at least I mailed out, all my prize packs for the Geekcast Radio Episode 65 5-year celebration. So far, I've only seen one prize pack pictures from the fan, which is cool. I think it's cool to see that. Looking forward to seeing more of those. Also, getting into last week's feedback just a little bit. I want to cover some of the stuff that was brought up. We asked the question of what is a game you'd like to play that you haven't, or what do you think about the lack of video game demos? King of Kongs brings up, I wish I could play Titanfall, but I don't have an Xbox. I don't miss demos, but I do not miss renting from Blockbuster, as strange as it sounds. I had a good dealing going with them, $15 a month, and I could rent any movie or any game for as long as I wanted. I can't get anything like that today. I remember doing that package. I actually did the $20 one a month, because you could get out, I think it was like 2 movies, or you get out a game, which I think is the only reason why I did it. But I found it to be interesting, or nice, because I could actually just go into the store and as many times as I wanted throughout the day, which we milked that something terrible. But, yep. And then, I'm sorry, we did get iTunes review, and this one is from Nathaniel Day. He saved it July 5th. He gave the show, unfortunately, 2 out of 5 stars. Again, I apologize. I'm hoping that we can turn that around for you, but because we do like to take all comments and suggestions to heart, and to try and try and rectify it a little bit. I wish that everybody would like the show, but I can understand if something's not meshing towards what you're expecting. So, anyways, he says, I used to enjoy this podcast for the most part, but over the last month or so, it has gone steadily downhill. I feel like I'm listening to a phone conversation of two people who are distracted by other things they find more important. The host, one of the original ones, appeared to leave, try to open conversation, but they are not able to construct full ideas very often. Maybe if they were more prepared, it would lead to a better podcast. It seems like they just throw ideas out there to see what happens, and most of the time the result is awkward conversations. When the people talking sound like they are bored, it's hard for me to get invested. I would recommend better podcasts than this that cover similar topics, and the network this is one has better stuff on it as well. I'm sorry that you feel that way. I try my best week to week. Sometimes I agree. I am a little out there. In Mike's defense, he's not really a news guy. It's something I've always enjoyed. I've always wanted to do some of the newsy stuff, but actually have a conversation about it. And while Mike can do that, he's not really a news guy, so it sometimes the news kind of rubs him wrong. But I again, it's neither here nor there. I've kind of gone off the rails too, because
Recently, I as I'd mentioned before, I just moved and I've been working at my house and things are starting to calm down now. Plus, we had the 5-year celebration going on. So there was a lot of stuff going on at the same time, like through May and June. So I've been kind of out of it. But I didn't want to go without having a show either. I understand that it wasn't the idealist, you know, of it, but I am still attempting to tweak and make things better. So again, sorry, and hope that it can improve in the future. So I think this week, I think that about rounds it up. What are some things that you guys want to hear about? Did any of these articles actually pique your interest? Did you want to know more about some of them? Was there something that you felt that we could have included this week, or have that you'd like to see included next week when Mike returns? And I mean Mike Powers. I know that he and I do have a couple plans for things to kind of pop up in the near future. So there's that as well. I have some things that I'm planning out, but I want to make sure before I actually do them that they're completely thought out. So again, it's not, I'm not going to throw them in yet or even mention them, because I sometimes bring up ideas and they never happen because I get overwhelmed. So it's better that I don't say anything else about them. So I guess that about rounds it out this week. So thank you for listening to Altered Geek Unlimited. You can contact us in the following ways. You can get a hold of us on the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. You can email us, feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can comment on the episode post on the website. You can get a hold of us on Twitter, @GeekCastRadio, #AlteredGeek. My Twitter handle is @SCP21, and I will say I hope that you have a good weekend. I hope that everybody had a good 4th of July. And until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Never again leave this city.
That was never a condition of our arrangement, nor was giving Han to this bounty hunter.
I have altered the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further.
This deal's getting worse all the time.
Furthermore, I wish you to wear this dress and bonnet.
This was never a condition of our arrangement.
I have altered the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further.
Man, this deal's getting worse all the time.
Here is a unicycle. You will ride it wherever you go.
What? I'm not riding the f***ing unicycle.
I have altered the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further.
This deal is getting worse all the time.
Also, you are to wear these clown shoes and refer to yourself as Mary.
Oh, f*** you, man. I'm not doing it.
I have altered the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further.
This deal is very fair, and I'm happy to be a part of it.